Thanks for tuning in. From Municipal World, I'm Susan Gardner. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share your stories, providing insights into the challenges and opportunities facing local governments and communities just like yours. The MW Shares podcast is powered by Shure Microphones. Thanks for joining us for another episode of MW Shares. Our guest today is George Cuff. George has been involved in local government in one way or another since 1970. He has been a recreation and youth specialist, a department head, a mayor for 12 years, a former president of the Federation of Canadian Municipalities, and a consultant and advisor to municipalities since 1976. You may also know him as Municipal World Magazine's Governance Zone expert. He writes a monthly column called The Governance Zone, and in fact has written hundreds of articles and columns in Municipal World since 1984. He's also the author of 8 books on local government policy governance, which I've been proud to work on as editor and publisher. His latest book is Leading, The Real Value of a Mayor and Council, and right now he has 2 more books in the works. It's my very distinct pleasure to have him join us today. Welcome, George.
Thank you, Sue. Happy to be with you.
So glad that you could join us, and we're going to talk about some of the challenges for local governments, some of the things that you're observing and have observed. But I was hoping maybe we could just start with talking about your earliest experiences in local government, share that with folks and explain what that was and how it got you hooked on local government.
You know, when I left high school in Jasper Place, which was in a town in the west end of Edmonton, it's no longer a town, it's been amalgamated or annexed into Edmonton. So when I left high school, I went and worked for the Royal Bank for a couple of years. I worked for an oil and gas company for a year and a half or 2 years. I went into university at the U of A. I started at Concordia College in Edmonton for a year and then 3 years at the U of A. After I'd been at the U of A for a year, and I'm not sure how all these things happen, but if you knew my personality, you might. Anyway, within a year, I was president of the Student Society for Recreation and Physical Education Students. So that took up a number of my hours per week. I also was working part-time with Edmonton Parks and Recreation, doing their youth drop-in center on Northeast Edmonton. Also, I did a playground program in what they described as their worst playground in the previous year, where the playground shack had been burned to the ground and all of the equipment had been stolen, and so they told me it wasn't your normal playground. Anyway, they knew that I had a boxing background and thought that would come in handy. And if that didn't come in handy, I also was an athlete in track and field and had 7 local records in quarter mile, half mile, and mile. So if I couldn't outfight them, I presumed that I would be able to outrun them. So anyway, those were good experiences that probably prepped me for much of the rest of my consulting career and political career. And so after I graduated from university with an honors BA in recreation administration, I took on a job as director of Parks and Recreation, the then town of Spruce Grove, west of Edmonton by 20 minutes. And I spent 2 years doing that, went on to a communications officer's position, again working with local governments, and then onto a recreation and parks consulting role for a year and a half or 2 years, setting up seminars, teaching recreation boards, meeting with town councils, all of that. In the meantime, I ended up getting elected as mayor in Spruce Grove, and shortly afterwards, I was contacted by the then firm of Woods Gordon Clarkson Gordon, which was Canada's largest consulting and CA firm, now part of Ernst & Young. And I was asked if I wanted to join them as a management consultant, which I did in 1979, and stayed with them for 5 years until the economy turned dramatically. And we ended up setting up our own practice under my name in 1984. So that's a real quick synopsis. But my connection with local government was a great one to begin with and has stayed that way over the years. beginning again in approximately 1970, if not a bit earlier, but 1970, through the courtesy of Edmonton Parks and Recreation, who hired me as a youth specialist. If anybody can imagine that now, you've got a great imagination.
Well, it's quite a varied career, to say the least, and one that's touched on really every aspect of local government in terms of the staff and management and political leadership, which is really quite an accomplishment, to say the least. Thinking back on your time on council in Spruce Grove and your time as president at FCM, which I think was in 1988, do you recall what were some of the biggest challenges for Canadian municipalities at that time?
Well, yeah, I'll describe to you a local one, Sue, as well as a national, international one. Locally, when I was mayor, we were a small community. I think it was around 6,000 population. It's now 35 or 36,000. But 6,000 population when I began as mayor in 1977 at the age of 29. And one of the big challenges was for a small growing community in terms of accessing water sewage systems, which were controlled by the city of Edmonton, which did not have quite the same benign attitude then that it does now toward its surrounding communities. And so we had a major struggle trying to access water and sewage systems that would allow our growth to continue. Eventually, we were able to negotiate that with the city as well as with the provincial government. We ended up getting both the water and sewer lines paid for, I think 90%, if you can believe it, by the provincial government, which was interested in those days encouraging development beyond the borders of the city of Edmonton. So anyway, I've always had good relationships with the city. We had lots of meetings that were sometimes tense, but overall quite productive. And so that was a local issue, if you like. And it was one that, I mean, I was around also when we became a city, which was probably the one highlight of my local government career that I jokingly say can't be taken away from me, regardless of who else comes after me and so on. We've got good leadership today, and I'm happy with the community that it's evolved into being. With regard to nationally and internationally, and by the way, I was president of the Alberta Urban Municipalities Association back in 1982, 83, and then got onto the board of the FCM as a result, I think, of being president of AUMA, and then eventually became president, as you said, in 1988 and left in October 1989 because I was also stepping down as mayor in Spruce Grove at that time. So I stepped away completely from local government in an elected official role. During the term with FCM, two big things happened. Most people don't recall this, but being a person that still has a relatively sound memory, I do. The one thing that happened was this whole push for federal funding and infrastructure. So, and I wouldn't take credit for that, but it was people that worked on that prior to me and subsequent to me, but we were putting considerable pressure on the federal government to get involved, and because we knew that it was going to take federal money for us to help upgrade and update infrastructure across Canada. Now, those were ongoing discussions. I remember meeting with Michael Wilson, then finance minister, met with Joe Clark when he was prime minister. Anyway, there were a number of, I think maybe leader of the opposition, there were a number of major meetings that we had, inviting them to conferences, getting federal officials to speak. That was a bit of a breakthrough, all of that. And you look back now, and in terms of the relationships, these things started somewhere. And I was happy to say that some of it started in my term as well as others around me. The other thing that happened was internationally through FCM, the government of China was interested in opening itself up to the West. And the FCM was really instrumental in helping China embrace the West through a Western economic program that resulted in some of us, including the then executive director, Jim Knight, and others of us going over to meet with Chinese officials. I remember teaching a seminar on economic development in Nanjing, as I recall. We were in Tiananmen Square, as I recall, I think 3 or 4 days before the violence broke out. So it was in Tiananmen Square. It was a really significant, turbulent time, and it was interesting to be a part of that, to be sure.
Now we're going to take a short break before getting into the rest of the conversation with George Cuff. Municipal World's executive membership delivers a powerful toolkit for managing Canada's towns and cities. You get the most complete suite of print and online news, plus high-impact communication services and exclusive member content, as well as information to help you and your community stay a step ahead. Executive membership is sized to fit your organization, from 5 to 50 users per membership, and members report saving an average of $1,287 per year just on job postings. It's a smart investment that can quickly pay for itself. Become a member today. Does your municipality have COVID-19 resource materials to share with other communities for reference? Examples might include bylaws, communications and news releases, reports, memos to council, to name just a few. Municipal World is managing a central repository for such documents as a resource for the municipal community as they develop their responses to the pandemic. You can log into your account to access the resource page where you can view and contribute documents. You can find it at municipalworld.com/coronavirus-docs. Without further delay, let's jump back into that conversation with George Cuff.
So many changes since then, many challenges, some of the same challenges, as you said, some improvements around relations with the federal government in terms of recognizing the role of municipalities and the importance of infrastructure across the country. What are some of the biggest changes you've seen, positive and negative, since that time?
You know, I thought about this, and I didn't have access to your questions beforehand, so all of this is coming at me. But one question I did anticipate is, what are the changes? Because somebody asked me that not that long ago, and I had to think, which is unusual for me, but I had to think about, so what kind of changes would I say has happened? Because so much of what I do today in terms of consulting is based on the shoulders of experience that I've had over the last 40 years. And some of that's changed, obviously. But the change would be that obviously the world's become far more sophisticated in its approach to a lot of things, including local government. The whole language of today is, my grandparents would think they'd landed in another world if they were put back into their home in downtown Edmonton and listened to the language of computer technology. They wouldn't know where they had been. And so the whole world in my mind in terms of language has changed. But in terms of what's changed with regard to local government, probably what hasn't is the still fundamental responsibility that councils and management have to provide quality service to the people of their community. That hasn't changed. The second thing that has not changed is that the best government is what happens locally. You're face to face with people. They have an opportunity to see the services that they're being provided. They can talk to their mayors and councillors with regard to the cost of those services. They can complain about taxes, bylaws, the quality of the snow removal, grass cutting, whatever, and you're right there in front of them, and people have access. And so that hasn't changed. What I think has changed is that there's been an overall increase in the managerial proficiency of senior managements across Canada, in my experience, that we've got people that are better qualified, better equipped, who better understand the nuances that apply to local government better than in the old days. I think the old days, the picture was the person with the green visor on their forehead with about 8 pens lined up across the vest pocket. And they were taking minutes at the meeting with the telephone in the middle of the table, of a council meeting, which went off every now and again during a council meeting. And nobody was surprised because, after all, you had to be available to the citizens. It was a very off the corner of the desk kind of approach. On the other hand, it was still face to face with the public. So I think what's changed, particularly and more dramatically than anything, and people may not see it in their own community, that's true, but right across Canada, what's changed is the increasing proficiency and, I think, education level of municipal management. What hasn't changed is that there are still major difficulties in terms of understanding the distinction between council and management, understanding the distinction between being an elected official and being somebody that's brought to the table as an appointed official based on their experience and expertise. What hasn't changed is the ongoing struggle that councils have in trying to figure out what's our role. I've said to people numerous times that the two words that have been the absolute bread and butter of my consulting for 40 years are the two words called role clarity. And if it wasn't for the lack of that, I probably would have been out of business a long time ago. But, you know, I'm still being called today. In fact, I'm going tomorrow to a community that's struggling with role clarity. And that's during the pandemic. So it's, those challenges are still there. So I think that's one of the significant issues that I think needs to be addressed. And that's this whole issue around how do we encourage councils to be better? How do we encourage them to better understand their role? And I think this has been a Canadian failure for both councils and management, is the understanding the role of a council. And so I look what the orientation does to councils. I ask to get copies of that if I'm ever called in to do a study. And one of the things that that tells me is, what has this approach done in terms of orienting your brand new council? What has that done to elevate council into being a governing body versus an administrative body? And quite frankly, I think we could do a whole lot better in that. And maybe in the course of our conversation today, I could share some ideas. But I just think that that's been a huge challenge that has not been particularly well met.
I definitely want to talk more about that. Before we move there, though, I'm always kind of fascinated by folks who move from the administrative sphere into an elected official capacity and vice versa, which we see happens and happened in your case. How do you think your time as an elected official and background in managerial administrative role, how has that informed your perspective today? How has it shaped it?
Well, of course, you never do these things at the time thinking that this is what's going to be the long-term impact of career choices. But when I think about it, I mean, I was absolutely ideally blessed in terms of having had exposure to being into, quote, small-time politics when I was a student, both at high school and in university. I was introduced to being a manager from the age of 15 when I ran the district office for the Edmonton Journal, which was a tremendous experience. And of course, I probably didn't think about that then, given the amount of money I was being paid to look after 30 paper boys. But when you think about how, you know, the paths come together, I think it's, there's a great quote by Robert Frost that said, the ideal in life is when your avocation meets your vocation. And I think that's what happened with me. I think my training, my background as an administrator, positioned me to get into local elected life, which was a whole other story. And it also gave me an appreciation that elected officials ought not to be leaning over the shoulder of their managers, ought not to be involved in what they thought was their area of expertise. They ought to allow their area of expertise to inform their questions and decision making, but not to the extent that you think you become the expert in local government. So I continually push council members to step back from their involvement in day-to-day administration and recognize that what they're trying to do through their questioning is to get at better policies, better decisions on behalf of council. So one of the things that I did when I got into council as a mayor at a young age was that I decided to myself that I'm not going to get involved in anything to do with my previous background. I'm not going to sit on any board or any committee, and I could have appointed myself. I didn't. I was the last one to speak to those topics when it got to the council table, because I thought the rest of councillors should have the opportunity to discuss this. They don't need to hear from a quote, another expert. They needed to hear from all of us as citizens. And so I don't know, for whatever reason, Sue, I was able to make the distinction between, you know, what's an elected official, what's an appointed official fairly early on. I got involved in mentoring as well as coaching, as well as instructing boards and councils on distinction in terms of roles. In those days, called roles and responsibilities, the word governance was not even used, at least rarely. And now it is. And so I think just having had that background of gone from an administrator to an elected official, in my case, was helpful. On the other hand, I've seen lots of instances where that has not been, where the person has continued to wear their administrative hat, has sat there and nitpicked away at the current CAO or administrator, thinking, well, after all, I used to be a CAO, or I used to be the fire chief, or I used to be the whatever. And now my job is to look over your shoulder and tell you how to do things. To me, that's not what's intended by local elected life. So yes, I think your background should inform you. I think it should help you understand if you have a local background. I mean, if that was that critical, by the way, citizens would be trying to elect seven members of former administrations. And I can guarantee you that members of former administrations have got beat during elections, have not survived well when they have got elected, in part because they haven't necessarily been prepared to step from one set of shoes into another. And I think that that's absolutely critical. So yes, it can be a blessing. On the other hand, I've seen instances where it's an absolute hindrance.
I want to thank George Cuff for taking the time to chat with us, and thank you for listening. Stay tuned for part two, where George shares his thoughts on organizational reviews and the early warning signs that can be acted on to avoid breakdown, plus the ongoing hurdle of council staff relations and the importance of orientation to get councils off on the right foot. If you'd like to hear more from George, read his column every month in Municipal World magazine. We'd like to hear your ideas. If you have a topic you'd like to see covered in a future episode, simply drop us an email at stories@municipalworld.com. Also, don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe. I'm Susan Gardner for Municipal World, and we'll be back with more stories next week.